don't stop off. Rock, go, rock, go, rock. Freak, don't stop off. Rock, go, rock, go, rock. Freak, don't stop off. Rock, go, rock, go, rock. Freak, don't stop off.
That was Sean Needham, and this is the Sheffield United Hodcast. I'm Matt, and as the Winnie the Pooh blood and honey to my Popeye the Slayer man, it's Johnny.
Good evening.
So, Johnny, it's been a very, very busy 6 days for United, hence the episode title that we've gone for tonight, which is 6-3-9-2-9. What do those numbers mean, Johnny?
I'm going to let you tell the audience for once, actually.
Are you? Am I doing the work? So, that's 6 days, 3 matches, all 3 were wins. 9 goals scored, only 2 conceded, and 9 points in the bag. If you were to sum up the last 3 games in 3 words, Johnny, what would you say?
Very, very good.
Very, very good. I'll take that all day. So, the plan for this episode tonight is to review the Wednesday match, because we played Wednesday, in case you hadn't heard. We'll review the Portsmouth match. We'll probably keep that one quite light because you can only beat what's in front of you. And then we'll review the Leicester game that's just gone. We'll briefly touch on some of the clickbait, lazy journalism we've seen about the merger between United and Wednesday. And if we've got a bit of time, we'll preview the Stoke match, won't we, Johnny? How's that sound to you?
Yeah, sounds good.
Good. So, a week ago today, we played Sheffield Wednesday. We did a little preview pod for that one. I will admit, as always, I was very, very nervous because we were playing Wednesday. And that always absolutely terrifies me because I'm worried about losing. However, we went into that match Wilder unbeaten against Wednesday. United kept the same lineup that they'd had against QPR. And I think it's fair to say, other than a half chance that Wednesday had in the first couple of minutes, United absolutely battered them from start to finish, didn't we? Is there all you want to add briefly about that Wednesday match before I give a run through of the game itself and then you can do your player ratings?
Yeah, it was just basically what we've come accustomed to, the Sheffield derby, haven't we? I think anybody else's manager, and we probably wouldn't win these games all the time, would we? But I think Wilder's got it pretty much nailed down that he won't let this team surrender in this sort of game, will he? So,
no, he certainly hasn't fired up for it, don't he? And you can tell with Wilder how much it obviously means to him, the same as it does for us, really. I mean, it's no secret that we've got a lot of Wednesday fans in the family, haven't we, Johnny? And they were of the sensible variety, unlike some of the great salty head loss comments that you saw on Roy's View. And they've said how disappointed they were with Wednesday, haven't they? And the fact that Wednesday just didn't turn up. I mean, is there what you want to say about Wednesday before I run through the actual game itself?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I said it to a few people. I didn't realise how bad they were. No. They didn't turn up on the day, did they? The minimum you expect is to be running, chasing, harrying, and even make it a physical game. And that's what I touched on earlier about with Wilder. That's the minimum expectations for him. And we always do that in a Sheffield derby. And you expected Wednesday being the underdog this time to come out and try and disrupt us, get in your face, but they offered very little. And I do think a lot of that was down to United actually scoring an early goal as well.
Absolutely. So, I mentioned earlier that United were unchanged from the QPR side. So, we started with Cooper in goal, the back four of McCallum, me, Tanganga and Siriki. O'Hare, Riedewald, Peck and Brooks in midfield, and then Campbell was partnered by Ings up front. Wednesday had the first half chance, didn't they, of note, which forced a good block from Tanganga. Bannon made a good sideways pass. Threaded, is it Ingleson in? Yeah, threaded Ingleson in, and he had a shot blocked. After that, really, United just took over, didn't they, from there. We pressed, we harried, we chased. We put Wednesday under a lot of pressure. They couldn't cope with the high press. And Riedewald picks the pocket of, was it Iorfa or one of the other terrible Wednesday players, picks the pocket, doesn't he, on the edge of the box, gets it to O'Hare. O'Hare does a no-look pass, puts Campbell through. Campbell's run's fantastic, isn't it, round the back of O'Hare as well to make all that space. And he puts one through Max Lowe's legs into the bottom corner. So you've got that great still of Max Lowe falling over and Campbell sliding one in. Campbell had missed a half chance as well just before that. United from there just went on to absolutely dominate, didn't we? So we should have had a penalty, the most bizarre decision of the half. Tanganga gets wrestled to the floor, don't he, by Liam Palmer. And the referee bemusingly decides to retake the corner. It was a real strange one. I mean, it must have been that much of a penalty. Well, nailed on that even Don Goodman said it was a penalty on Sky, which is always disconcerting when Don Goodman's talking in favour of United. Danny Ings scored a goal that was then disallowed. It was tight, wasn't it? Very, very tight, that Ings's chance, and that one got disallowed. And that pretty much saw out the first half, didn't it? We went in at half-time, we'd absolutely battered him, but as always, you're slightly worried that you're at Hillsborough, Wednesday might come at you and go hell for leather second half, but nothing to worry about. United came out second half. Campbell put one into the side netting after being threaded through by O'Hare again. Should have scored, really. Owings had missed a one-on-one ante as well in the first half, which was a good save from Horvath. But yeah, Campbell put one wide, which I thought he'd have scored. It was probably easier than the first chance, which he did score. You then worried that, oh, here we go, that's it now, that chance is gone, they're going to come at us now. But then Campbell scored within 2-3 minutes. Peck made this great challenge in midfield, which was a half tackle, half through ball. Campbell burst through and rolls one into the bottom corner again. We then had just a suite of chances, didn't we? So Bamford came on for his United debut. He put a great pass through for Cannon. Cannon ran through one-on-one, blasted it straight to Torvath when it was easier to score. We'd also missed a great chance where we had a 7-on-3 and Siriki puts the ball across and Bamford flicked it into with his back heel. I mean, it was behind him. He had no choice. My dad was saying he were being fancy, but I think it was behind him. He had to try and do something to stretch to it. It'd probably been better dubbing it, though, wouldn't he, and letting Cannon or O'Hare just took it into empty net. And then Cannon missed his one-on-one, as I said. I turned to the youth next to me and said, it's just never going to happen for him now. That's that. It's just never going to happen. You can just tell that was his chance. Could have cemented himself in. But then he scored a cracking goal into from about 20 yards out, rolled into the bottom corner. Took slight deflection on its way through. And United were 3-0 up. And then we had another chance right at the death, didn't we, with Samari as well, where he just scuffed it into a crowd of players, really, instead of hitting the target. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say United could have won 6 or 7-0. They really could. We had enough good chances, didn't we, to do it. And Horvath didn't even have to play that well. I know he kept the score down, but he didn't have to play that well to do it. The chances we had, really, if we'd have scored 7, Wednesday couldn't have complained. They really couldn't. And I know they were claiming a moral victory because we only beat them 3-0. But that's the biggest winning margin away from home, isn't it, for either side in the Sheffield derby. Have I missed anything there, Johnny, in that run through? It was a very exciting day and it was a match that seemed to last for ever while we were there. Have I missed anything from it, do you think?
No, I just think the only thing you missed is Wednesday offered absolutely nothing, didn't they? I mean, Cooper's not... Did he touch the ball?
No, I think you're having a fag halfway through.
Yeah, he claimed a couple of crosses, but didn't have a shot on target. I think Wednesday only had two players on the day who looked like they were actually bothered, and that were a lad on loan from Manu, Amass, and then Bannon, who sat deep. But I suppose that's easy to do, just sit and try and get hold of the ball, but he had nothing to play to. But Yeah, they're awful. And like I said, the only disappointing thing for United is that they didn't score more, but you'd rip their arm off, wouldn't you, for a 3-0 before game, so.
Oh, absolutely. You really would. I mean, like I said, I'm always nervous, but it's just because it's Wednesday and that's what it is. And it's because there's so much riding on it. But same as you said at the start, and you were absolutely right. I was shocked at how poor Wednesday were. And for me, it was the lack of fight from them. It was really, really disappointing. And obviously there's the myth about Wednesday being a team of young lads. I mean, yeah, by the end they've got like some 12-year-olds running around on the pitch. But that starting lineup that Wednesday put out was older than ours, wasn't it, in average age?
Yeah, their average age are older than ours. Like I said, I think that the first goal from Campbell, just they were flat as soon as that
Yeah.
went in, because they're having to sort of chase the game, but and they're not good enough to chase it. It killed any atmosphere that were there, and United just were professional and took control, didn't they? So.
Yeah, they did. United, it was just a really professional performance. And I know there's been a lot of salty comments from Wednesday fans after about, oh, well, blah, blah, we should be ashamed we've only beat them by this and da, 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 da. But it's a Sheffield derby. There's a lot riding on it. It doesn't matter how poor one team is or the other. You know, there's a hell of a lot riding on it at the end of the day. And if you say you don't care, you're lying. I don't care what anyone says. If you say you're not bothered, you're lying about it. It's they've only got two matches this season, haven't they? Really, and that's against us. So, yeah, I just thought United were really professional, solid job. I just, being greedy, just wish we'd scored more, to be honest. I really do. So, do you want to go through your player ratings then, Johnny, from the Sheffield Derby? I've got a feeling who might be your worst player for us, mainly because he didn't touch ball.
Cooper was in goal. I give him a six because he did nothing. He didn't have to do anything.
Nope.
Looked assured with a couple of the crosses, but he gets a run-of-the-mill six. Sam McCallum, I'm going to give a seven. I believe he's really steady at that left back. He's been one of the shining lights of this season, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And he looked steady, he looked de decent.
He's in there on merit, isn't he? That's the point.
Yeah,
He's
he's
keeping
in
the
there on
position on
merit, and
merit.
he's it's the sort of player you want to play in that derby game, don't you? So,
Yeah.
Ben Mee and Tanganga, I'm going to give them both sevens. I thought they were absolutely solid. They just looked class above. I mean, they're marking two absolute donkeys, weren't they, up top for them? But they just did everything comfortable. They had a bit of time on ball. They read situations really well and looked solid. We never looked like conceding, like we said.
Well, did you see the bit where Ben Mee actually beat, I think it was Jamal Lowe in a foot race?
Yeah, that just sums it up, doesn't it? What Wednesday are
It
about at the
does.
minute.
Yeah.
Femi Siriki, I'm actually going to give him a nine
Wow.
now, and that is based on the whole dynamic of the team changing by him being in the side. We touched on it at the QPR review, and we've wanted this 4-4-2, which helps Tanganga play his natural centre back, not a
Yep.
wide right centre back. He's playing centre back, right? And Siriki is just offering so much going forward. He was solid. I mean, he were up against their best player in Mass. And he made him look average, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, he did.
Siddy Peck, I believe I'm giving him a seven. He got his first assist for United, I think it was.
He did.
So, and he played well. He wants to get on the ball. He summed up what United side's about in them games as well. He was getting some stick off their crowd, and he was giving it him back. And yeah, to say he's not Sheffield born, he understands everything what that game's about for us, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He loves it. He absolutely loves it.
Yeah. Rydevold. So I'm going to give him an eight
Oh, yeah.
because in that first half, it was so effective, it was untrue. Anytime Wednesday tried to have any sort of play, Rydevold was in there just breaking it up, just doing the simple things, just bullying, pushing Bannon to the side, pushing Ingelsson away, and just getting his toe in. And he robbed Valery for the first goal, didn't he? And then played it through. And then I
Out
had
with
Hazard
Valerie,
on
yeah,
to play
Valencia, yeah,
more.
took more off, yeah.
Yeah, so Rijnvold were very good. Andre Brooks, so I'm going to give him an 8 as well. He was really good on that right-hand side. Again, he was up against Damas on that side. He had him in his pocket, didn't he? That stat came out that he the most tackles from a championship player in the last 3 years, was it?
Yeah, in one match. Yeah.
In
He
one
was
match, and
outstanding.
it was 11 or 12 tackles, which, if you go back to the last year, Brooks wasn't known for working hard as such. However, since he's come back into the fold, he's been really good on that side with Siriki, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, and I mean, bit of a spoiler. I rang you into during Leicester match yesterday, and I said, can you imagine having to play against Brooks and Siriki? It'd be horrible.
Yeah.
Just both so fast and strong and harrying you all the time. It must be awful to play against that.
Yeah, he was so good, Brooks. So I'm giving him an the 8. O'Hare, I'm gonna give a 7. He got another assist, didn't he, for Campbell.
He nearly got an assist, didn't he, for Cannon's goal as well. I think he was about to play the pass, weren't he? And then their player got a foot in.
Yeah. He's like I say, he's been our best player this season, but in that sort of game, it was time for some others to step up. But away, it was just harrying and pressing all the time. Danny Ings, I'm going to give a 7-2. He did what he needed to do in that first half, caused a lot of mistakes out of their back line. They looked really, really shaky at the back. Obviously, scored his goal that got disallowed. Borderline, in my opinion, that. I've watched it back a couple of times, still can't make my mind up.
Yeah,
But yeah,
I
he
can't
just.
work out if Ingelsson plays him onside or not.
Yeah, he just looks. He still looks really sharp, Ings. I just think if he gets the chance, he'll score some goals as well. Campbell, I'm going to give him an 8 as well.
Eight.
Now,
Sarge.
just because I want to give Siriki the best man of the match because of how much he contributes to the team. Now, Campbell, yeah, an 8, scored 2 good goals. Like I said, the first one took the sting out of the game. The second one was perfect timing straight after half time. And both decent, similar finishes, weren't they?
Oh, he was just a handful, weren't he? I mean,
Yeah.
them two couldn't cope with him, could they? Iorfa and Palmer, they got no idea.
Well, I was
Absolutely.
devastated when Iorfa went off because he was our best player. He's an absolute donkey, isn't he?
This is terrible, terrible
But yeah,
footballer.
substitutes, obviously Bamford. I'm only going to touch on Bamford and Cannon. Bamford coming on, he looked good, didn't he?
Oh, he did look really
Showed a
good.
few nice touches. Played a decent ball through for Cannon, who should score. And Bamford has got his first assist.
And Bamford should score as well, really, with the flick on.
Yeah, Bamford should also score later on in the game, but he was involved, he was busy. And then Tom Cannon getting that goal,
What did you give
should score
Bamford?
like Cannon. Bamford a 7, and then I'm giving Tom Cannon a 7 as well. So Cannon should score the one-on-one, but makes up for it with a decent strike of the ball. And hopefully that's the turning point of his United career because, yeah, when we need to see something more of him, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And his running looks better, doesn't it? I mean, was it the QPR match? We said he looked better, didn't we? In some when he appeared for a bit and played a little bit, you know, and he's running and movement off the ball is looking better and he's looking sharper into Cannon.
Yeah.
Looking a bit of an handful, which is really nice to see. Yeah, I mean, as we've said really, and you kind of run out of words to describe how euphoric it felt absolutely battering Wednesday like this, but I think you can only beat what's in front of you, can't you? And they were absolutely horrendous. They were so poor. I was just surprised. I was gobsmacked at how poor they were. Is there else you want to add on the Wednesday match, Johnny? I mean, we could talk for all night about how good it felt to batter him, but is there else you want to add about that one before we move on and talk Portsmouth?
No, just it were nice to, like I said, for the second goal in the game to just settle us down, because you're always going to have them nerves with it being a derby game. And you heard some people at pub before the game that if we lose, Wilder's under pressure and stuff, and which I didn't personally think that, but yeah, if you look, if we had lost, it sets the tone for that 6 day week games, isn't it? And 3 games in 6 days. So
Yeah,
yeah,
it
it was
does.
nice to get that off us back and kickstart week, wasn't it?
I mean, cards on the table, Johnny. I were one of them. I thought genuinely, if we lost to Wednesday, I thought we'd go down just because I knew Wednesday were poor, but I just thought it'd be such a kick in the teeth to lose to a side of that are bad like that, you know, in a game that matters as much as that does. But like I said, United were really professional, weren't they? And they beat a side that's effectively the division below, didn't they? Comfortably. Just a solid professional performance. And we looked like a team that's
Yeah,
just a division higher, didn't we, than
just
them? What are you going to say?
also want to just quickly touch on the celebrations thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've got Muppets in media saying that they're not sure about how we're celebrating and that Rove at top, but let's be honest, they were chucking shirts in crowd when they drew nil nil with us.
Yeah, I did.
So it just shows, yeah, it just with the season we've had this year. We needed something like that, and everybody's together. The fans were on side, and yeah, it's good. And if you can't celebrate your win over your rivals, then what can you do?
I mean, I don't care at the end of the day. For me, it's a compliment to Wednesday, if anything. The fact that we've took it as seriously as what we have, and we're celebrating it like we have. It's whether Wednesday are terrible or not, it's still a massive game in our season, isn't it? Because you, as you say, you're playing against your biggest rivals, and we lived in their shadow for most of our childhood, didn't we, growing up? You know, Wednesday were a big side once upon a time, you know, and they were always the big, ugly neighbour up the road. So for us to batter them like we did, absolutely take them apart, and be dominating them for the last few years like we have, it does mean a lot. And I'm not being funny. If Wednesday won 3-0 at Bramall Lane, of course they'd be celebrating like that. You know, it just means it matters to the players. But yeah, anything else on Wednesday then before we talk the match that we had on Wednesday night, which was Portsmouth?
No, that's pretty much it on that for me.
So from one poor side to another then, we played again on Wednesday. So we played Sunday, then we played Wednesday, and we played Portsmouth on the Wednesday night. We made two changes. Ings and Campbell went out, and Bamford got his first start, and Cannon started up front with him. Any quick thoughts on that before I run through the action, the lineup, or anything about the Portsmouth match that you want to briefly touch on before I rattle through what happened?
No, I think the changes were what we expected, weren't they? I mean, Campbell playing on the Sunday and scoring 2 goals, and as then the quick turnaround to the Wednesday. Likewise for Ings, who played against Wednesday, and then the quick turnaround to the Wednesday night against Portsmouth. So the changes were there. Cannon obviously had a bit of confidence, and Bamford made a good cameo on Sunday. So yeah. And obviously, the result, it proved to be the right thing anyway, didn't it? So.
Yeah, it did. It did. I think you're right. It's one of those things, you know, if you've got a bit of squad depth, you need to rotate your players, don't you? So we did. Cards on the table, the first 30 minutes of this, 35, were absolutely atrocious. It was a really poor match. It was a really poor atmosphere, wasn't it? It was freezing cold. To be honest, they were about half an hour in. I wish we'd stayed at home, don't you? Because it was just everything were horrible. It was freezing. We weren't playing well. Portsmouth just dug in like a set of ticks, didn't they? And just sat really deep. And then Bamford had a half chance from distance, didn't he, which he flashed wide. They didn't really, we didn't really do a lot. They didn't really do a lot. And then the game kind of just completely flipped on the 40th minute because Tanganga got up from a corner, headed one, it was going in, and our best player, the Portsmouth right back, Mr. Terry Devlin, not Paul Devlin's son, decided to handle it and made one of the best saves I think I've ever seen from a fullback, tipping it over the bar into when it was going over the line. It was a great save. Then we were all thought, oh, I wonder if he's going to let Tom Cannon take this. See if we can get 2 goals in 2 games. And then Bamford picked up the ball and we thought, right, it's Bamford. And then up stepped Siddy Peck to take the penalty. Be honest, did you think he was going to score?
No,
No.
you just felt it wasn't written for him, didn't you?
He did. He did. But he took it and he put it in and it was a nice penalty, bottom corner. 1-0 United and Mr. Devlin got sent off. From there, it was one-way traffic, weren't it, really? Bamford scores on the 54th minute, so quite early into the second half. Bundles one over. It was again, I think it was it a Tanganga header again. Came off the bar, didn't it? And he tapped it in from close range. Keeper was appealing for a foul. He was never going to get that. We had a couple more chances. I think Cannon had a couple of half chances. Bamford had a half chance as well. And Gus Hamer came on and scored an absolute worldie again. They gave him far too much space, didn't they, on the 73rd minute, and he bends one in from about 25 yards because obviously he's in a goal of the season competition with himself. It's Gus, so he scored an absolute cracker to make it 3-0. And then United kind of coasted through the rest of the game, didn't we? And Danny Ings managed to have another goal disallowed. Which would have made it 4. So United saw this one out comfortable, 3-0. Probably what this will probably be one of the easiest victories I think we'll ever have, won't it, at this level? It reminded me of some of the League One games, you know, under Wilder that season where we just blew everyone apart. It felt like that. We just absolutely destroyed Portsmouth, didn't we, in that second half in particular. They just didn't lay a glove on us. Oh, you want to say, or do you want to just crack straight into your player ratings?
Yeah, just quickly on it. Obviously, it were a drab first 30 minutes, but to me, if they'd have kept 11 on the pitch, I think it was geared up for Aimer to come off bench and show a bit of quality and win it. And I think we'd have won game anyway, maybe one or two. Yeah, they're banging trouble this season, Portsmouth.
Well, I think I said
We
it to
said
you,
before
didn't
the
I?
game.
I saw it on Twitter. There were an Oxford fan, and he said as soon as Sheffield United and Norwich sort themselves out, he said, "Us and Portsmouth are in a right mess, and we're going to go down." And obviously, Oxford managed to get a good win Friday night, didn't they, against Ipswich? But I do think, same as you, I think Portsmouth they're in real trouble. Portsmouth, I think they're going to go down with Wednesday, and then it'll probably be Oxford or Norwich if they don't get sorted out very quickly. So, do you want to go into your player ratings then, Johnny? So, I interrupted you there.
Yeah, so very quickly, Cooper, 6 again. Very little to do. I think he palmed one up in air from their only real effort, didn't he? Look comfortable. McCallum, I actually thought he had one of his worst games against Portsmouth. I didn't think he looked great.
No, we didn't. He looked
Giving
tired.
him a 6. Yeah, he looked leggy, he looked tired. Giving him a 6. He gave the ball away a couple of times in that first half. And probably with us playing at home to a side who you expected to beat, maybe that sort of game that Boris should play. But yeah, Ben Mee, giving him a 7. I thought he was solid again. He just does everything simple, doesn't he? Makes it look easy. Tanganga, I actually think he's getting better now he's settled in at that right centre back. Not having to go forward, not having to cover Ogbeni. He looks a lot better in there. I'm giving him a 7. Siriki, I'm giving him a 7 for that game. Thought he looked decent again. He's so powerful. offers you some great defensive cover. And he doesn't seem to stop running, does he?
No, not at all.
I mean, we said it four or five times in that game against Portsmouth. You notice United were on counter at second half, and you're like, Aouar's got the ball, and you're like, look at Siriki. He's just made 70 yards to try and get forward, and we've been missing that massively.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, well, I said to you, it begs the question, doesn't it? Why on earth has Wilder not been playing him? Why on
Yeah,
earth has he not
that.
been playing?
And that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? If Siriki had been playing since the Charlton game, would we have any more points? And
Hmm.
quite possibly so, but you don't
Yeah.
know. With hindsight, it's a wonderful thing.
Yep.
Ruud a seven. First half, he was a bit sloppy. However, second half, he just showed a lot of quality, didn't he?
Yeah.
Got involved a lot more, broke up a lot more, and just he. They've got to tie him down, haven't they, to a contract?
Oh yeah,
I think
absolutely.
he's exactly what Sidibé needs at side room.
He is. I mean, at the end of the day, he's a more positive forward player than Vinny Souza. He just hasn't got the legs that Vinny Souza has, but he can tackle, and he can just break up play, can't he? Which Souza was a master at. I mean, Souza had the physicality, didn't he, and pace, but couldn't progress a ball like Riedewald can. Wasn't as positive, was he? Play safe a lot, Souza. But Riedewald just offers that physical presence and leadership, doesn't he, in midfield, which we've really been missing.
Yeah, massively. Sidibé, then let's give him an eight. He's took a lot of flack off people this year. Early
Was
part of
included.
season. Yeah, I was included. Early part of season, he was left hung out to dry a bit, weren't he? With having nobody at side of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he stepped up to play massively. I'm so glad he scores the pen. Like I said, I've been saying on a couple of pods that his goal contributions aren't there, but Sunday against Wednesday gets the assist. Wednesday night against Portsmouth, he scores. So scores from spot. And yeah, he just looks more established. I mean, it's going to be very difficult when Arbelastra comes back of who you pick in there.
Well, you probably go Blaster, don't you? But it's
But
whether
do you
you
drop
move to do you
Pep?
move to that three-man central midfield, then into it with Blaster,
But at the
Riedewald and
minute,
Pep.
you don't change what we got. I mean, I can't see Blaster playing much before Christmas anyway. So,
Well, if you're winning games, what's point in rushing it anyway and getting him hurt? You may as well take it steady, aren't you?
Andre Brooks again worked hard, showed a few nice touches. Looks decent on that right-hand side with Siriki giving him a seven.
Yep.
Complete different player to what we have seen in past for him, where he's not a bit lazy.
Yeah.
Whereas now he's working really hard.
Yes, he is.
Callum O'Hare again, seven. He came to life a bit in second half, and particularly when Aimer came on. They showed some
Yeah.
nice touches together.
Yeah. He's one of those players in TOA, he just never gets tired. And when the opposition gets tired, he just seems to almost get fitter and quicker and faster, doesn't it? Picking pockets and stuff.
The amount of distance he covers is unreal.
Ridiculous.
So, Cannon, I'm going to give him a seven. Although he didn't score, he did work really hard the first half. Created a couple of half chances. He looked sharp. He looked sharp. Looked like he got a bit of confidence from scoring against Wednesday. Bamford, I'm going to give him a seven as well. I thought he was really good. Scored, and we're having the conversation with a couple of people in ground where they're saying he's not the imposing forward of McBurney and Kiefer Moore. However, 6'3" Bamford, and he's one really clever. He knows how to use his arms to hold off the defender to win the ball in the air, and he knows how to win you the free kicks under pressure. He's really good at that. So,
He's awkward, isn't he, more than physical. That's the thing. He's awkward to play against.
he's very and he's what exactly what we've been missing. We needed something like that. Another dynamic of another dimension where we can push the ball forward, but quicker, and he can hold it and bring players into play. And he's really good with his feet.
Yeah, it
He's
is.
really,
He can
really
play
technically
counter.
good.
Yeah.
Subs wise, so Burrows came on for McCallum. He looked okay. Obviously, it were a lot easier to play when we're already 2-0 up against 10 men. We had a lot of time and space on ball. I thought we managed the game really well, didn't we? Look comfortable, look confident. Hamer. Now, again, I touched on it for the QPR game. Hamer was what we were missing in a tight game, which happened a lot last season. Quality from Hamer. And that goal that he scored, Beckett 3-0, summed it up. It's a great strike. And yeah, that's what won us a lot of games, 1-0 by all. 2-1 last season, weren't it? That quality.
Yeah, it
And
was.
it's difficult to get him into the side at the minute.
Yeah,
Because who
which
do you drop?
well, it's mad saying that though, isn't it, when you weigh up, because he's our best player. Yeah, you're struggling to fit him into the side and formation, aren't
He is our best player, but you can't. But with how well the others are playing, you don't disrupt that, because then if you do, it's that old adage of, well, we've messed about and changed team.
Yeah,
So,
exactly. Yeah.
yeah. Well, yeah, we can only beat what was in front of us. But my last point on this Portsmouth game is so McGuinness has gone out the side,
Yep.
who is 6'4", 5".
Yep.
How all of a sudden are we winning everything in the opposition's boxes for corners?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we top at league,
It's
aren't we?
weird.
Chances created from
Tanganga's going and
corners.
attacking. Yeah, Tanganga's going and attacking the ball, winning everything. Ben Mee's winning headers in the box. Siddy Pett won a couple of headers. It's weird. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I think they're just probably better players, Johnny. That's essentially what it is. They're just better players, aren't they? And McGuinness probably attracts defenders to him because of his size. And in turn, because he stood near our players, it don't quite work then because they're picking them up, or they were blockers for McGuinness, and McGuinness just isn't as good to go and end it. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Portsmouth match, like we said, we haven't talked about it too long because you can only beat what's in front of you, and they were a really, really poor side, weren't they, Portsmouth? So that was that. That was two wins in 3 days for us at that point, which we can't complain at, can we at all? So we didn't do bad, really. Like I said, two wins in 3 days, and then we had I'd argue it's the toughest test. I know Leicester are bang out of form, but we went away to Leicester yesterday. So we're recording this Sunday night. Yesterday we went to Leicester. United, I didn't realise how poor our record is against Leicester. No wins in 10, was it? And the last time we played them, we lost how many away at Leicester? Was it 5-0?
5-0, yeah. Game after Wilder went, wasn't it?
Just after Wilder had gone, and we were absolutely hopeless, weren't we, that day? Just got run ragged, and poor Heckingbottom just stood there in a empty stadium with a group of people that had kind of given up on themselves, hadn't they, that season, the second Premier League season when we got relegated with no crowds. So, yeah, I really wasn't aware that we got such a bad record against Leicester. Last win was 2008, and apparently James Beattie scored a hat trick, so Sky kept reminding me before the match. Any thoughts on the Leicester match before I run through what happened?
Yeah, one of them. I think we were saying let's make it get a positive result, and I think before the game we just took a draw, weren't we? Difficult place to go. Poor record there, and looking at their team of highly paid players with a lot of Premier League experience, and you took a point, but yeah, what happened next is something to shout about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. So, I mean, spoiler, in case you didn't know, we won 3-2 away at Leicester yesterday. I was really shocked. I genuinely thought we might draw at best, but we did incredibly well. I mean, that Leicester side, it's one of those where they've got some players that would get in our team because they're that good and that talented. So United made a couple of changes again. We lined up with Cooper in goal, Siriki at right-back, Tanganga, me, Burrow started at left-back. The midfield stayed the same, O'Hare, Riedewald, Peck and Brooks. Cannon and Campbell started up front together. United set off like an absolute steam train, didn't we? We pressed, we harried, we chased, and we found ourselves winning inside 2 minutes. The goal is hilarious if you look at some of the defending. It's so poor. So poor. There's a scramble in the box and O'Hare essentially kind of flicks it back, doesn't he, off of one of the Leicester players, and Cannon smashes one in from close range through the goalkeeper to make it 1-0 after a minute and a half. Leicester fans were already very angry at that point. United scored again 2 minutes later on the fourth minute. This time it's a corner, it gets recycled out. O'Hare heads it back into the box, then it comes back out to O'Hare and he hits it. I think they've credited it to Riedewald, aren't they, the goal? And O'Hare afterwards in his interview was like, absolutely not, it's my goal, I hit it. And if it's touched him, it's flicked him, if that. I think it's O'Hare's goal, don't you? Edge of the box, stays into the bottom corner. Great finish, really, to make it 2-0.
Yeah, I couldn't see the touch.
No, not at all. After that, we had a couple of more chances, didn't we, from corners. Cannon should have scored again, really. Ball came across to him. I think he got caught out, don't you, in two minds, where he weren't sure whether to edit back at goal, shoot at goal, or try and flick it across, and he actually didn't either in the end, and it just kind of bobbled out of play. Campbell had a good chance at the back post, but then it hit his hand, didn't it? It bounced up and hit him in the hand. Then our best goal was an absolute cracker from that man again, Siddy Peck. So corner again, gets flicked up in the air. Riedewald's challenging with their player. Comes to Peck and he hits this sweet volley, doesn't he? First time with his right foot from about 20-odd yards. Sails into the far corner of the net. Keeper had no chance, but it was so sweet. There were no deflection on that, where they just caught it bang in the middle of the foot and it flew in. And then Campbell had a great chance before half time, very similar to the two he scored against Wednesday, wasn't it? This one cutting in on his favoured left foot, and he puts it wide. I mean, really, he should have scored, or he could have squared it for Cannon, couldn't he? The chance were there for that. United 3-0 up at half time, and honestly, we could have been 5-6, couldn't we? And Leicester couldn't have complained. They were absolutely awful. We were so good. We pressed them so high. Brooks and Siriki just looked menacing, didn't they? Flooding them forward all the time. We looked absolutely brilliant. Second half was strange. I think United just ran out of gas. You know, you're 3-0 up away from home, you're playing really well. You don't need a fourth to go and kill it normally, but this Leicester side have got some quality players. They've got some good individuals. They're not a great team, but they've got a lot of good individuals. And the individuals stepped up a little bit second half, gifted by some stupid errors from us. So Leicester got one back. Mavidi ends up bundling one in at the back post. Cooper made a right hash of it. Absolute error from him. And Wilder actually called him out on it after the game as well. Comes flying out and then decides to leave it. And just takes Siriki out, and then Mavidi bundles one in. Mavididi bundles it in. And then they scored another strange goal, didn't they? Was it from James in the middle of the park? He ends up just hitting one, and it goes straight down the middle of the net. There's a lot of swerve on it, but I think Cooper just lost it. He just lost sight of the ball. Went straight down the middle of the net, and he steps to his right, assuming it's coming across him. And it just went down the middle of the net, and you saw Siddy Peck just absolutely berating him for that. United had a half chance with Hamer because Begovic had scuffed a clearance, didn't he? And Hamer shoots from about 40 yards and curls it into the stand. I mean, 3-2 flattered Leicester, really, for how good United were. And it was my dad, to be fair, that actually said United looked tired. And normally he says, well, they don't deserve to look tired because they haven't done a shift down a pit. But as I keep saying to him, I said, well, football's a very different game to what it used to be, and the standards are a lot higher. So that they did. United looked leggy, didn't they, in that second half? And I think a bit of Leicester's quality started to just click a little bit more, plus some bad mistakes from us, as we said. But yeah, that was it, really. We saw it out, and to be honest, it's got to be the best away win of the season, hasn't it? Other than winning 3-0 at Wednesday. I mean, that first half was probably the best we've played, weren't it, all season as well. We were absolutely outstanding, and Leicester just couldn't cope with us. Have I missed anything there, Johnny, on that Leicester match?
No, it's like I said, we came out flying, striking while the iron's hot, basically, didn't we? Up against a team who got spanked midweek, we went back to two wins, and we just thought, well, let's carry on pressing. Pressed and harried them into mistakes. They were very similar to how we were earlier in the season.
Yeah.
That first half, I think it's a good comparison. A lot of decent players, but just weren't working for us. But yeah.
All the gear, no idea.
Yeah. And again, two goals from technically from corners. I don't know what we've worked on in training, but all of a sudden we're a threat at set pieces. And you wouldn't have thought that at Leicester with Vestergaard and Valtfass, would you?
No, not at all.
Playing. So they had two decent wingers, Leicester. I thought Siriki dealt really well with one of them. Down the other side, I thought Burrows had a decent game, actually.
Yeah, I thought the defence, I said to you, I said first half he looked really good. Really good.
The 3-0, like I say, it didn't flatter us at all. We could have been four. Campbell should have scored that. I think that was probably the easiest chance of all of them.
Yeah.
That Campbell missed.
Well, apart from Cannons.
And if we're going 4-0, then it's... Yeah. But, yeah, I don't think Leicester opened us up in the second half. I mean, everyone's saying it was just a game of complete two halves. It was. We didn't really offer much second half ourselves, but we didn't need to, and they never opened us up. We gave them both goals.
Yeah, yeah.
The first goal, I think Cooper were trying to be too clever by pulling out, thinking it was going to go out.
Yeah.
Just catch the ball or punch it out for a throw-in. And we'd have been comfortable. I don't think they'd have even scored then, the rest of the game. And then the second goal... It gets played into Bamford's feet. He gets knocked over too easy on that one. Tries to win a free kick. Gets knocked over to him. And then it's a decent strike from James, but Cooper last season? The Cooper last season chests that down.
Yeah, he don't make those two mistakes, does he?
No, it's really, really poor from somebody of his quality. And I wouldn't have expected that from him, to be honest with you. But it's, in a way, it's a massive box ticked that was the kind of win we got.
Oh, yeah.
Where we've played against a decent side. Obviously, we're racing to a three-goal lead, and then we've had us metal-tested second half. It was uncomfortable that last 5 minutes, but...
Well, yeah, there's a couple of interesting points, really, in that second half, to be honest. I mean, friend of the pod, Gareth Simpson, said to me today about Cooper, do I think he's injured? Because there's something not quite right with Cooper this season. Now, whether it's just confidence or what, I don't know. But there's something that he's just a little bit off, isn't there, with him at the minute in terms of his distribution. You know, he hasn't been... making the saves that he was making last season. His shot stopping seems to have suffered slightly. His decision making's a little bit off. And the other thing for me that was at the end of the day, I think again it was down to fitness, but Bamford looked like the Bamford I was worried we'd sign. Someone just out of touch, out of form, and not very good. I mean, he was awful, weren't he, really, against Leicester when he came on, Bamford. He just looked atrocious. But it just could have been too much. 3 games in 6 days for him. Might have been a little bit too much. I mean, a few of them were looking leggy, weren't they? I mean, Riedewald looked absolutely shattered. Ben Mee were looking tired towards the end as well, bless him. So it's a big ask, you know, 3 games at this level, this standard, isn't it, in 6 days. It is a big ask. And the Wednesday one, you know, whether they're a poor side or not, it's emotionally draining, isn't it, that one as well. Because you've got a lot riding on it. Do you want to go into your player ratings, Johnny?
Yeah, so Cooper, I'm gonna give him a four.
Yeah, that's fair.
He, like I say, he let Leicester back into a game where we were comfortable, and
Yeah.
I don't think they'd have scored. But yeah, Cooper a four. Burrows, I'm gonna give a six. I thought he was steady, had an all right game. Offered a bit going forward first half. We countered really well, and it played into that style of Burrows. You're up against a couple of tricky wingers in Leicester. But yeah, give him a six. Benmee and Tanganga, I'm gonna give them both a seven. I thought Benmee was very good. Again at reading situations. Again, yeah, you mentioned he did look a bit tired later on, but if you compare him to Robinson in that left-sided centre back, I'd sooner have Ben Mee
Yeah,
twice
night and
now,
day.
two
Yeah.
times on Sunday, wouldn't you? So.
Yeah, it's night and day. Night and day, the difference between them two. I mean, we've got to give it a shout out as well. Ben Mee attempted an overhead kick in the first half, one of the
Yeah, I
best.
did see that, and I thought, what is happening? Reminded me of when Chris Morgan did it at Forest that time.
That was a day.
Yeah, so he scored.
Yeah, well, can you remember what the Forest manager Paul Hart said at the time?
Come.
He said, when players like Chris Morgan score goals like that against you, you know you've got no chance of winning.
Yeah, exactly. So Femi Sariki, I'm going to give an eight because that first half, he looked outstanding.
He did.
Put a couple of good crosses across. He set the tone for the game. He made the first goal, didn't he, down that right-hand side.
Yeah.
He's so powerful, and he were up against a really good player on that left-hand side for Leicester and did well against him. For the goal, for Leicester's first goal, obviously, the guy who Siriki's marking scored, but it's nothing to Siriki, that's Cooper.
We got took out by Cooper into Sarica.
Yeah, and his fitness is unreal, isn't it?
Oh yeah, he's
He's
so
so
powerful, isn't he?
athletic, and but like I say, it just makes that decision not to play him look an absolute stinker.
Does he? I
But
can't work it out.
I think it was more not about Siriki. I think it was more he wanted to play McGuinness, me, and Tanganga, but couldn't decide which one to not play.
Yeah,
Then
maybe.
McGuinness has sort of, out of poor forms, knocked himself out at team, didn't he?
Yeah, so what he played his
Himself
way out of
too.
the team, hadn't it?
Yeah, so, yeah, Siriki and eight. Brooks, I'm going to give a seven. I thought he was really good again, particularly first half. Played a few nice couple of balls through on the counter. We looked so athletic on that counter, didn't we, that first half?
Well,
And the
as I said,
pressing and.
I mean, I've said to you that side with Brooks and Siriki, I mean, coming forward when they're in possession, it's terrifying. When you've got possession and they're running at you, it's terrifying. They're just so quick and strong, the pair of them, aren't they? And they harry you and chase you. And to be fair, they've both got good technical ability as well. You just
Yeah,
don't want to play against it.
Brooks has that really good low centre of gravity as well.
Yeah, he does.
He's so good with his feet, and yeah, his breath of fresh air down that side. Siddy Peck, I'm going to give an eight because he scored an absolute worldie. That first half, he played incredibly well up against a player in there of Harry Winks, who was on about 150 grand a week. So many Premier League appearances, so many. I think he's played Champions League and he played in Europa League. So, yeah, Peck didn't look out of sorts and scores an absolute screamer. And again, I come back to that goal contributions. He scored two and assisted one in three games. So, just. Sorry. Yeah, scored two, assisted one. Rydevald, I'm going to give him a seven. Thought he was steady again. Again, kept out one of the. The best midfielders on paper in the championship, Winks in the first half. Broke a lot of the play up, which allows Peck to go forward and O'Hare to roam. O'Hare, I do think it was his goal. I've
I
watched
did.
it a couple of times. I can't see where it's come off Rydevald.
Not at all.
It's a strange one. I mean, even O'Hare said that Rydevald didn't even know about it, does he? So,
No, absolutely.
I'm going to give O'Hare a 7. Second half, didn't he had to defend, which takes him out of his comfort zones a little bit. He had to sit in there and try and break things up. Cannon, I'm going to give a 7. Again, scored early. It's great for him to score against his old club and finally find a bit of form.
Yep.
He deserves a bit of luck now, and hopefully he can kick on. Like I said, he's got a big price tag to live up to, and hopefully that goal against Wednesday's giving that confidence boost. Campbell, I'm going to give a 7. Although if he does score that right before half time, it makes it 4-0. But to be fair, he was running channels, he was working hard, he was making runs in behind, weren't he? And what you'd say is a decent centre half pairing of Vout-Faas and Vestergaard. They made him look very ordinary, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, they're both woefully out of form, aren't they? The Leicester fans are slagging him off something chronic, but really for this level, they're quite a pairing, aren't they?
Yeah, and I don't think the Leicester players want to play for this manager.
No.
But your ability will get you so far. And they've got ability in abundance, haven't they? So
Have.
subs wise, just Hamer and Bamford, they came on in situations what they're not known for, having to defend, having to
Manage a
grind out
game.
the games. Yeah, manage the game. Samari comes on again in middle. You didn't really notice much because it was pretty one-way traffic second half without them opening us up much. Just a lot of getting the balls wide, weren't they? And then putting balls in box, which I thought we dealt with okay.
Yeah, we did because they're still threatening, whether they're out of form or not. You know, there's still a lot of talent
Yeah,
there.
I think Ayew coming on for them is a different thing to the other guy we had up front first half, like Daka, because Ayew was just quality into for
Yeah,
that level.
absolutely. Yeah, he is. Yeah.
But yeah, overall, it was a cracking result. Like I said, massive box ticked in the. If we win the game 3-0, everyone's rosy. But then you're thinking we've not had that challenge and that massive hurdle to overcome, which with the game at 3-2, having to dig in and putting bodies on the line and battling for each other, it was good to see him getting through it. So,
Well, I mean, you look earlier this season. One, not only would we have not gone up 3-0, but if we had been in a position to be up 3-0, we'd have probably lost the second half 5 or 6-3, wouldn't we? We how we were playing. They've got a little bit of the spine and the resilience back, haven't they now? You know, and you know, I'm not saying that it's all sorted and we're suddenly going to win the league, but it does look a lot better, doesn't it? And the performances are starting to match, and we're getting results now, aren't we, as well? So it does look a lot brighter. And I think Wilder were quite right to be happy with that result. You know, I was genuinely delighted with that yesterday. I just didn't see that coming. Such a good result against, whether they're out of form or not, that's a good side, that Leicester team. It should be doing a lot better than what it's doing. It really should. So you can't have that from United. Is there anything else you want to add on the Leicester match before we talk about the lazy clickbait journalism, and then we'll preview the Stoke match?
no, let's jump straight into this journalism clickbait.
So basically, for anyone who doesn't know, I mean, we ummed and ahed, didn't we, about whether or not to even dignify talking about this, but rumour has it, or it's been confirmed, that there was an offer from someone professing to be COH Sports inquiring about buying Sheffield Wednesday with the potential of merging the two clubs. Now, the complaint from local journalists has been that COH haven't come out and denied this, which is a sign of culpability and therefore guilt at doing this. I mean, personally, I don't believe it. It could be absolutely anyone, couldn't it, professing to be from that. It could have just been one of the directors going a bit rogue or whatever. What's your opinion on it, Johnny?
Yeah, I think it's exactly what we said it is. I think it's clickbait. It's the whether the owners are the Americans or not, they've got advisors around them like Bettis and stuff. They're not going to have gone in there and done that, are they? So I think it's an absolute nonsense. It's a nonsensical story, and it is just clickbait. It would never work. Personally, we've even said we wouldn't support the team, but we were going to support someone else. So, I don't think it's even worth giving it much airtime, to be honest with you.
No, it's not, and it's just one of those, isn't it? I mean, at the end of the day, the merger talk has been there for years, hasn't it? We United and Wednesday, and everyone says it's the only way that they'll ever really do well, and blah blah blah. But I just can't. I can't see it being true. And even if it is, it'll be one of them that's stupidly done something, And we've got a team of investors now that have bought the club, haven't we? That are just all clubbed in together, so. I don't know. I think because they don't engage much, do they, with the local media or the media in general, United's new owners, there's a bit of an information vacuum, and people are quite quick to fill it, aren't they? Usually with stories which fit their ideology and viewpoint on the world. So, yeah, it just felt lazy to me. So, that with that, I thought we'd quickly address it. Next match then for us is Stoke on a Saturday. Stoke City, they are doing very well, although they did lose to Hull at home and then had a mass brawl on the pitch, ice hockey style at the end. What do you reckon? Stoke prediction?
It's a difficult game. Should be a good crowd. I'm hoping that the atmosphere is going to be better because the Portsmouth game was terrible atmosphere. Although it was a Wednesday night, it was cold, wasn't much happening. Like I said, it reminded me of League One days, that sort of game. But yeah, the atmosphere on a Saturday should be better. Stoke are third in table or fourth. Lost the last game. I'm going for a 2-1 win. And
United.
us to carry on that momentum. It will be a difficult game. I think it'll be something that we've not faced yet this season. Mark Robins' sides are very, he gets them very much like Chris Wilder's side, doesn't he?
He does. He achieves a lot with what he's got,
So,
doesn't he, Mark Robins?
I think, and if it is two very similar styles of play, I think if you're looking at their squad and looking at our squad, it would be very much in favour of ours, probably 70-30. So hopefully that bit of quality should win us the game, especially now we've got some confidence.
I think we'll win 2-0. I can't see Stoke threatening this, if I'm honest. I know they've done well, but I just think we've probably got too much for them. And we've got a little bit of momentum. I think we might sweep Stoke side. Might be a bit of a laborious one, first half in particular, but I think we'll beat them 2-0, and see that one out. What's your prediction for the season? What do you reckon now? So Nigel Rhea-Coker and Jeff Shreve says you can't rule us out getting in the playoffs because it's them and it's Chris Wilder. What do you think?
Yeah, I was speaking to people before we played Wednesday, to be fair, and a lot of Wednesday fans, and they were saying, "You're an absolute shoo-in for playoffs." And I'm like, "No, we're really not." But yeah, I think it might be very similar to the Grêmio season when Clough took over from Weir. We're either second or third bottom when he took over. And it wasn't the number of points that was the problem. We ended up finishing seventh that season, by the way. But it wasn't the number of points that was the problem to the playoff place. It was the sheer number of teams, because you're relying on that many teams dropping points. It's difficult. I mean, we're 10 points out of playoffs. I think we're only like, is it 12 or something else for automatics or something? It's tight in championships. Everybody beats everybody. I do think it's a poor league this season. I think Coventry, it's theirs to lose now, isn't it? I think Ipswich will finish second. And then you're looking at Southampton, Middlesbrough. And then I think fifth and sixth place are going to be up for grabs. So any sort of team who puts a good run together. It depends what we do in January, doesn't it? I mean, I think just keep ticking these games off. Let's be within 6 points at playoffs by January and then ask again.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, and you've hit the nail on the head, championship's championship and everyone beats everyone. And the thing is, we can't afford a week like we had last season where we lost three games in a week to Millwall, to Oxford, to Plymouth, and teams like that. And that is the problem with the championship. You only have to play at 50% and you suddenly get picked apart, don't you?
Well, we've
And
had the
you
same week this year, haven't we? We've had the Preston Derby Coventry.
Yeah.
And yeah, and obviously the start we had. So we lost 11 games. We started scoring goals, which is pleasing. We've stopped conceding as many goals. We're still
Yep.
giving away the odd death goal.
Yeah.
But true test on Saturday in Stoke, Norwich at home on the Tuesday, and West Brom away on the Friday.
Yep. 3-6
So
again.
three games of six again. And I think if you are looking at that, push up the table, top six area, you've got to be looking at getting 7 points, haven't you?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Like someone from Norwich, you need seven minimum. So that's that. So hopefully, who knows, after the West Brom match, we could have got more points. Ideally, I'll take another nine from three games again. Seven, like you say, and you're suddenly in the hunt, aren't you? At the top end of the table, all of a sudden you're narrowing that gap. You got else you want to add, Johnny, before we finish?
No, it's just so nice to have a positive pod for once.
Ain't it? Finally. Finally. Well, that'll be it now. We'll be able to clip this one because that might be the last one this season. Who knows? So, I've been Matt. You've been Johnny. There's nothing else to say but up the blades.
Up the blades. Don't stop up. Go, rock, go, rock. Freak, don't stop up. Who put the ball in the Wednesday net? Who put the ball in the Wednesday net? Who put that ball in the Wednesday net? Super Tyrese K.